Officials in the western Chinese province of Yunnan are trying to preserve a vast mountain wilderness while also encouraging tourism. In the second part of the latest NPR National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Christopher Joyce visits the region where experts are discovering that conservation can be a mixture of science and faith.
In a Tibetan village, you're never very far from your livestock. Your animals are in the front yard, guarded by a big, angry dog. They're also in the backyard, under the pomegranate trees. And they own the first floor of the house. On every rooftop, there are drying ears of corn and sheaves of barley, sometimes a satellite dish, and a small earthen kiln. A senior man in the household comes here daily to burn cedar branches and pray. This Buddhist ritual is called sangsa. Breakfast in a Tibetan home with Guo Jing. He's a Chinese anthropologist with the Yunnan Academy of Social Sciences. He says the Chinese Han people, the majority, have become fascinated with Tibetan culture. They, perhaps like us, feel they're missing something from the past.
The people here think this area is a holy area. I think in Tibetan's idea, holy mountains are just something like the center of the world.
Tibet symbolizes something spiritual. In China's Meili Snow Mountains, breakfast table is set as it would be in Tibet. A bowl of samsa, or barley flour, dried yak meat, and yak butter tea. That's tea, salt, and, yes, yak butter, mashed in a long wooden churn. Guo Jing is part of a scientific survey team sent here by the Yunnan government and the U.S. group The Nature Conservancy. They're designing a conservation plan for the region. The team's ecologist is Bob Mosley, a lean mountaineer from the Idaho Rockies.
You get used to being stared at. People always want to see what you're doing, what you're pulling out of your pack, how you use chopsticks. Generally, are some of the first foreigners in here.
Four Asian rivers, including the Mekong and Yangtze, pass through here almost side by side. Mountains fold like an accordion with mile-deep canyons. Of the world's temperate regions, this one is perhaps the most biologically diverse. That's what led Mosley to visit here and then to move here.
It's an enormous amount of life, different life forms that can be compressed in those elevational zones, from the very arid subtropical scrub vegetation on the river through these moist forests and then up into the alpine meadows and the rhododendron scrub zones above treeline, right on up to the glaciers.
Mosley hikes from village to map this remarkable environment. Today he's climbing a mountainside above the village of Jila. The villagers graze their livestock in these high pastures, cook and heat with wood. They cut trees for building and slide the logs downhill. There's lots of music here. You make your own instruments, your own entertainment. But the simple life is changing. Small dams have brought intermittent electricity and television. The Yunnan government plans to send ecotourists here. The Tibetans need that money, but they're wary. The environment is fragile. So is their way of life. We met a young Tibetan named Norbu. He said Tibetans have a special relationship with the land.
We must protect the Buddhist, the religion. This is the best way to protect the nature. The best way is you protect the culture. The local people will protect the nature.
In village after village, the survey team finds out just what Norbu means. There's a different way of seeing the land here.
It's pretty exciting. What we found is that there's a zonation of cultural landscapes, of religious landscapes here that fits very well with conservation planning for biodiversity also.
The lines on Mosley's computer maps begin to take on special meaning.
there's an area right in here that the Tibetans call Mani Rongyin. Basically means the natural line. Above that point up on the mountains, it's a very pure, natural place. Essentially, no human activity takes place there. And that's where some of their important gods live. Below that, down to the lower village, is also a very natural landscape. They do very little cutting of the forest there, and when they do, they say lots of prayers to thank the gods for these things.
Mosley and his colleagues crisscross the mountains, surveying glaciers and couloirs, gullies filled with landslide debris, and streams the color of jade.
In this place in particular, the Meili Snow Range has a very sort of vibrant and robust culture that interacts with that natural diversity in a very intimate way. Their livelihoods and their religions are very closely tied with the land and the use of and the conservation of the natural diversity. And that was surprising.
In August, the team will deliver conservation plans to the provincial government. Bob Mosley and Guo Jing now realize that any plan to protect an area four times the size of Yellowstone must include both the visible and the invisible.
I think the first thing we should have what we call the intangible culture. Since mountains and trees or some sacred sites are tangible culture, we can see. These are important, but they're not the most important things. The most important thing is people's idea about this land.
On our last day, we pass a Buddhist monastery called Dong Du Pling. There's a festival going on. Vendors line the narrow path to its wide gates. Inside, there's a courtyard. Thousands of Tibetans sit around the edge and crowd along second-story balconies. The scene is medieval. In shaded pavilions, monks play 15-foot-long horns, drums, and cymbals. The music is felt as much as it's heard. Then, at the top of a grand staircase, a young monk materializes. He glides down into the courtyard, a dagger in one hand, red ribbons in the other. One by one they come, until there are 20 monks at least. They balance on one foot and then the other, spinning silently with the utmost deliberation. They form a circle, and the circle spins. Guo Jing says this is a preparation for the new year. Cleansing the land of past sins. It's a window into the invisible landscape. A landscape that for these Tibetans is the center of the universe. With NPR's Bill McQuay, this is Christopher Joyce for Radio Expeditions in Yunnan Province, China.